Hi, Josh. Josh is recording in his location. Hello, Larry.
Hi there.
Larry is recording in his location.
Uh-huh.
I'm Andy. I'm recording in two locations.
And I'm Splattery.
No.
And Sam Farmer's on assignment. Welcome to the program. Yeah. Number 199.
Ooh. 199 people.
Of your artificial friends.
When and the people that you know don't like you, and your treasured friendships end, tune in to this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
I'm just going to stop. So we can just mail this one in, right? Because the next one's going to be the real good one.
Yeah, nobody's paying attention to this
okay,
one.
Okay, let's just go ahead.
Andy, this is the Halloween Spooktacular.
Sorry, I don't know. I had a little stroke there.
Do you remember when we had to do the noises on Mark in the Morning?
Yeah.
And Rex Lynn did a duck call.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, those two are tied together, Rex Lynn,
yeah.
The character actor who came in to do some My Turns and befriended Josh and just wormed his way into all our hearts. We love spending time with him. Yeah, he's fantastic. And I've got great stories from him that if we have time, I'm always happy to tell. But yeah, he comes in on what did Mark call it? The Halloween creepy?
It was something.
Something like that.
Yeah, where everybody...
Everybody had to put in something terrifying, right?
A noise. Yeah, a noise.
Yeah, some noise that was terrifying. Katie, she would, Katie Thompson put her hand in macaroni and cheese and squished it around so it sounded like brains being squished.
Ew.
And I forget who else did.
Jackie
did
one. Jackie did. She had something like reading the rose or playing with a rosary and saying like a prayer.
Yeah,
saying like a prayer in Spanish.
And I think that Gina Grad did the girls who sing in all the scary movie trailers where they sing something in an off-key thing that is supposed to be scary, like London Bridge is falling.
Exactly.
That was hers.
What did you do?
The scariest thing I could think of was having my car overparked on Wilshire Boulevard and paying the ticket price for that. So it was like, your meter has expired. Your meter has expired. It was as scary as I could get. And then Mark
was like a ghoul or something. Mark was just
Rex Lynn did, who's been in some terrific movies, Zombiever.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And he was on Nashville. What other things was he on?
He's on the Young Sheldon. He's the principal in Young Sheldon.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
cool.
He's had the best career one thing. He's always working because he's always genuine. You know, he never tries to be, you know, that he's not. And so he's really great. Anyway, he brought in, he was the actual, was it?
He was the guest.
Oklahoma?
Oh, no. Yeah, it might have been Oklahoma.
I think it was Oklahoma duck call champion, like in 1988.
And then like runner up the next year. Like,
yeah. I mean, so he brought these duck calls. And he was doing those and he added those in. Anyway, my point is, we just saw, you sent me an article.
Yeah.
He and Rex Lynn and Reba McEntire are now romantically linked.
It was a headline on CNN, like the entertainment section. I just see Rex Lynn. I'm like, what is going on?
How did that come about?
Mark Thompson played Reba's boyfriend on the Reba McEntire show on Reba.
That.
He had that role
terrible.
For like a couple of seasons.
Have you ever watched that show?
No.
My wife made me watch it one time when we were fighting. She put it on. We were in that part of the fight.
Was that your punishment or something?
Yeah. We were dating and we weren't married at the time and we were sitting in, it was like a school night. So we were just hanging out and watching TV and I don't even remember what the fight was about, but it was the point where we were in the silent treatment mode. Like we had both had our little hissy fits and we're both just sitting there silent. And she just fucking puts on Reba. And we sit there for an hour not talking. And I just remember it being like complete torture. And just me being like, she is the most evil woman I've ever met in my entire life, is making me watch Reba.
Evil and she, woman.
She admitted to it later. She did it on purpose too.
Yeah, there are a couple of shows that Laura watches that I just think are utter shit. And when I come in, she shuts them off because she knows I'm going to make fun of them.
Oh, I know.
She does.
And they get so mad too.
Yeah.
And you can't help yourself. It's like if it's some shitty show, I cannot just sit there and be a decent human being and just mind my own business. I'm like, I walked into the room. She was there first. And I'm just immediately sit down. I'm like, I'll go, why is that person doing this? And then she starts and I go, nope, I don't, you know what? I'm sorry. I don't even want to know. This is so stupid. I don't even want to know. All that reality TV bullcrap. Yeah, I'll come in.
I am so lucky. Sharla has never been into any of that. She's never been into Desperate Housewives or dating shows or any of that. I've never had to sit through an episode of Bachelor or anything. And I think the only place we part ways, it wasn't until I started working, like until we got the house in Cambria, and so I was in LA during the week. The only way we part ways is where she can't handle, you know, pretty intense violence. She, up to a point, she can, you know, handle some bloodletting, and she can avert her eyes in, you know, some shows. But, you know, something like mob-oriented stuff, Scorsese movies, things like that, I've always watched those on my own. So it wasn't until I was living in an apartment 4 days a week on my own that I finally caught up on The Sopranos. It was like 10 years after the fact, and I'm jamming through those things. But I am very lucky because that is the most time we spend together, is hanging out watching TV.
Right.
And if I had to sit there and go through an episode of a desperate, a Real Housewives of frickin' Atlanta or something.
That's always on that. And then if the kid gets the TV, it's all that bull, that Pokemon bullshit.
That was my penance. Because Alex did not grow up during the heyday of animated films. We got maybe one every 3 years because they weren't, Disney wasn't cranking them out and every other company hadn't caught up yet. So for every Lion King, there was a whole bunch of Power Rangers movies, Pokemon movies, Good Burger, the movie. I had to sit through that. And he had to go to the bathroom right when it was wrapping up. So I don't even know how it ended.
But the trade-off is I just leave the room and let them watch their crap. But when football or a hockey game comes on, it's like, sorry, this is my time now. I don't care what's going on. I'm watching the Steelers, which, again, can we book a podcast that is not when the Steelers are playing
FM football? Is it on right now?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, sorry about that. Colts have a bye. I'm okay.
Well, you can easily say, can we go another? You are very amenable to the time.
Well, here's the problem is I don't know if it's on that when it's on national television. You know what I mean? I just assume that it's not going to be on national TV. And then the day before, I check to see what game is on. I'm like, sure enough, there it is. The Steelers are on national television again.
Are they on national television today?
Yeah. It's all right. I just watched the first quarter. And they were
attempt to do Saturdays from now through the end of football season. How about that?
Go chase Claypool.
I'm rooting for him today. It's not that big of a deal. Seriously,
I started him on my fantasy team, so I'm rooting for you, Josh.
I think he did. Yeah, he had a good run.
So Laura has a couple of shows like that. One of them, I think I told you, is Call the Midwife. Watch the first season of it. There was this hot nurse that was like the central character to it. Yeah. I think it was Lynn Redgrave. Lynn or Vanessa? Which one's still alive? Lynn or Vanessa? One of them was like the narrator of it. And this, it was a lovely story of like 1958 London, neonatal nurse nuns at this convent, and some of them weren't nuns. Some of them were, you know, secular, and just the whole story about that time, and it was really interesting. And did I mention this actress was hot?
Yeah, she's hot. You said.
That's the only thing that I would keep me from watching.
This is the second time on two different episodes that you have mentioned this.
Yeah, she's just But then this the old demented nun who was like, "Oh, I just love these cakes. They're so feathery tasty." It's like she would always have these things, these diatribes about dessert, and I think she's been killed off for like seasons now. But every time I walk in, it's a BBC drama. But every time I walk in when she's watching that now, because I was off it years ago, I'll just walk in and go, "Oh, my cakes!" And she's like, "God damn it! I'll turn it off." Yeah, yeah. She just doesn't want to hear a second of it.
I think the only time we ever had that happen was there. Sharla had been hearing about Gilmore Girls and kind of got locked in, so I was on the periphery of that. I usually managed to avoid it, and then finally I just sat down and watched one with her, and then like, this isn't actually that bad. It's fun dialogue, you know, cute people, whatever. So I put up with that. The only time,
lots of dialogue. It's always just the cutesy shit where it's like nobody talks like that. Not for an extended period of time. You might have bursts of 30 seconds where you have a little bon mot where you just
what's the one
knock people out.
What's the one show that that both your wives watch that you literally, as soon as you walk in the room, you turn around and just be like, "Okay, see you later," and walk right back out? You can't sit for 30 seconds and watch. Is there one?
I don't have one with her. She likes to stare at QVC as like background and doesn't buy anything. She just loves to watch these women yammer about about ceramic gnomes and
Did you ever see the guy that sells
and
knives
and what?
Did you ever see that guy that sells knives? It's like it's like late night and he's like he sells these fucking knives. He sells like batches of them. And it's like, you can get this 12-inch Bowie knife. And he's got like they're all in like a big block of wood. And it's like 40 knives for like $18.99 or something like that. It's just, it's crazy. It's like, who buys that shit? But the one show I can't watch is it irks me. I physical pain. Like, I'm like, ugh, I can't start. I can't stop mocking them is the teenage moms that
16 and pregnant.
On
MTV.
Boy, they must have plenty of material because that's been going for a while, which is an unfortunate state of affairs in this country.
What bothers me the most is like most of them are in Indiana, and it's like if you walk away from that show just making the assumption that everybody from Indiana is insipid.
Is 16 and pregnant.
It's hard to, hard that, to watch.
Yeah, that's one of the ones I'm just like, I can't stop. I can't. I just cringe when they start getting melodramatic and start whining and crying. I'm just like, ugh. Makes me want to throw the TV through the window.
Hey, I want to apologize to you guys. I made you wait at the top of the hour for a minute or two before I let you in on the waiting room here on Zoom. I was literally herding cats, putting them into the cat carriers so that they could go to the vet again. I think this is trip 16 or 17 in the last 3 months to the goddamn vet.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's been ridiculous because one, you know, they've got ongoing things that you need to be checked out, the older ones. And then one of the new kittens had to be checked out. Did I tell you this?
I don't know.
He was shitting on everything.
Oh, no.
And it was this nasty, mucusy mess.
There we go.
It was yellowy, brownish, mucusy mess.
There it was. Mucusy. That's what did it.
It was this like sticky kind of mucusy
like
poop.
Ectoplasm.
And so we get up on the couch immediately that was horrible. Like we changed the sheets on the bed and immediately the cat would jump up on the bed and have a sit on your pillow, then get up, walk 6 inches and sit down on your pillow again. These just little imprints. It was like a little stamper of mucusy feces.
There we go.
Yes.
We got there early. Yes.
That was a quick one. That one snuck up on me. usually there's a couple of like warning shots, but that one just came flying out of nowhere.
It's the mucusy part. Josh rich. Why is it
crapping all over the place?
Well, I don't know. Well, we go to the doctor and he says, and I'm worried that, oh my God, it's a 3-month-old cat. So there's a rescue that we got, who knows?
Yeah. Is it going to have chronic problems for the rest of your life? Is this going to be a thing this cat does?
Now that my children have bonded to this cat, which this is the only thing wrong with this cat. I mean, this is the most loving.
Yeah, but that's a pretty
animal
big thing.
I've ever been around. This cat will come up like right up to your face, and it couldn't be cuter. This little orange tabby, and gets like puts his mouth right in your face, just to, like rubs right up on your cheek. Will seek you out, and just has so much love to give, and wants so much love out of you. And my kids are just adore him. It dawned on me. Oh my God! What if we need a $5,000? Surgery to go in and reconstruct a bowel or something,
it may be the perfect cat, but that's a pretty big butt, if you were dating Laura back in the day and she was affectionate and loving and beautiful and was into you, and every time you saw her you lit up and she lit up, but she indiscriminately took a crap on the bed, you would be thinking twice about that relationship.
I would have a word with her at least.
You would send her a stern email.
So go to the doctor, and the vet says, you know what I think it is? I think it's probably this cat was living with other cats, for a little while in foster care. I bet there's just worms or some kind of infection. So we gave him a dewormer and gave him a antibiotic to take for like 10 days and took it. Problem's gone.
No? Do you know how they get worms out of people?
Tell us, Josh.
Uh-oh. You know how they get worms like out of your, I think it's like your intestine, like a your intestinal.
Are you asking, or do you know the answer?
No, is this the one where they boil the cabbage and then stab them with an ice pick when they come out?
Well, I don't know. No, they don't stab them. They put the patient, they make the patient like fast for like 2 days so that the worm, because the worm is living in your intestine or whatever, it's not eating. Okay. Mm. So then they bring them into the hospital and they get them naked and they lay them on their side with their ass sticking out. Right. Then they boil like a big bowl of cabbage and they stick it by their ass. And the worm is so hungry that it crawls out, but they can't kill it. They have to wait till the whole worm comes out, because if they try to kill it, and it like seizes up, it'll like go back in, or it can't die in the ass. So they have to wait, and basically the worm just crawls out of the ass and eats cabbage.
All right.
Ring the bell.
So let that be.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Isn't that great?
What did you get in your candy bowl this year?
Gummy worms. If you ever go to the doctor, you ever go to the hospital, and they're wheeling you to a semi-private room, and it smells like Oktoberfest. If it smells like St. Patrick's Day in there.
You gotta fast first, though. You gotta make the worm hungry.
Are you sure this isn't some movie you watch, Josh? Because that just doesn't.
Look, is it the guy who made Human Centipede?
Is that part of it?
Look it up on the internet. It's a thing that they do to get worms out.
Two worms, one cup of cabbage.
Yeah, steamy cabbage.
Look it up on the internet is Josh's answer. That's okay.
I'm sure that's accurate. Right.
Well, we've got a lot to cover, and we brushed by it at the beginning. It should be noted that this is episode 199.
Oh, yeah.
Next week is episode 200 of this podcast.
Now, are we going to have some sort of joyous celebration?
No, we're just going to do a podcast.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Can we make sure it's during the Steeler game, please?
But I've been contacted by Aaron Al regarding a beverage for us to taste for a beer episode.
Yes, okay. And I believe that there will be a transfer of goods that I will be able to contactless come and retrieve from your home. Is that been the situation that's been set up?
Yeah. Is that what you need to do? I guess that's what's going on. Okay, great. Yeah, I'll leave something out for you. Mm-hmm.
Okay. A side of cabbage. Can I get a side of cabbage, please?
I hope you picked the right bag.
The beer fairy.
You get all the way up to Cambria and it's just this
bag
just
cat of dog shit. Yeah.
It's mucusy poop.
All right.
So that's happening next week. Episode.
I wonder what it would sound like if Katie had put her fingers in that. Squish, squish, squish.
Oi.
All right.
I thought I'd try one more time before we moved on. Sorry, Josh.
It's all right.
This episode is our Halloween episode, as Larry said at the beginning. So, Larry, I don't see a reason why we should put this off. I mean, this is the set piece. This is the benchmark, the master portion of this program. So I'm going to turn it over to you to take the reins.
Excellent. Well, this is going to be another musical segment that we do once a month now, which has been fun. And this is perfect timing because we do have Halloween right around the corner. And we challenged ourselves to come up with two songs that are our favorite Halloween spooky scary songs, but with the caveat that one of them would be just straight up novelty, silly, goofy song, and the other would be something that just has that element of fear or horror, or even just has kind of scared you in the past, or just has that element to it that is just a really frightening song. And I gotta say, I think a combination of a little bit on the nose and also slightly obscure, but I love all our selections this week. I think they're nice.
What Allison Chains song did you pick?
This was hard. This wasn't easy for me.
You actually asked the question a couple of weeks ago, what even novelty songs are there?
That was the one I struggled with.
There are probably more Halloween novelty songs than any other holiday.
But the problem is I wasn't familiar with a lot of them. I did the Andy thing and looked it up on the web just to see, you know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah, that's a Halloween song. And like
I bet you saw it and like, oh, yeah, okay, it jogged your memory. Well, like, you know,
there's like the two, like the obvious ones. And then there was one I was like, you know what? Yeah, I found one.
Well, why don't you, let's start with the novelty. And this, Josh, why don't you go first?
This was a song I just remember having on one of those goofy, the novelty records when I was a kid. And then I never really put two and two together, but I was like, yeah, I guess this could be a Halloween song. Do you think is this a Halloween song to you?
I think it absolutely counts. As much as any other scary song does, I think this totally works. Sure.
Okay, go for it.
All right.
I told the witch doctor I was in love with you. I told the witch doctor I was in love with you. And then the witch doctor, he told me what to do. He said that.
Of course, the great Dave Seville, who years later would utilize this incredibly advanced technique to unfortunately plague us with Alvin and the Chipmunks. So,
yes.
But that's a great choice. Yeah. I would say that's a Halloween one.
And you know what? That song was in some stupid movie. I think it was in a Chipmunks movie recently, and it got stuck in my head. And as soon as I had that, a couple days ago, I was just at least once or twice a day, just walked around. It's just painful. And now it's back again. Great.
Yeah.
All right. Who's next?
Well, mine is from the same year as yours, actually. And yours, Witch Doctor, was a number one hit. Now,
oh, wow.
Whether you want to call it a Halloween song or not, it was released in April. But mine is also a novelty from the standpoint that it's super goofy, but it was also a top 40 hit, not as big a hit as Witch Doctor. The main reason I want to play it is because of the ridiculous story behind it. I don't think you guys are going to recognize this. It is the title theme to a movie, which sounds kind of jaunty and fun and like almost like a 50s surfer type movie, right? But this is a movie from 1958 that stars someone in their first big role who would go on to be a megastar of the time. And it's also co-written. The music is written by somebody who basically got their first job composing and then became a huge composer. So it set the career off for two people from this movie.
Beware of the blob, it creeps and leaps and glides and slides across the floor. Right
now,
the door.
When you're talking about a goofy sci-fi movie like The Blob, would you think this would be the,
the title song? It's weird.
But of course, The Blob starred, billed as Stephen McQueen.
Yep.
Wow. His first big role. He was top billed. It also starred a big, giant, well, mucusy blob, frankly.
the mucus episode.
Oozing out like jello out of, you know, buildings and stuff. It's really stupid. But the song, you could probably place the composer if you think about it.
Beware of the blob, it creeps.
The co-writer of that is Burt Bacharach.
Wow. That's amazing.
One of his first gigs. And that was a group of studio musicians. They just named the Five Blobs. And that was released as a 45. And that was a hit somehow.
That's amazing.
Isn't that wild?
Get some of that Five Blob money.
That's awesome. God, I remember watching The Blob when I was like 6 years old.
Yeah.
Just that pink whatever stuff, you know, like oozing
through
a doorway.
Is that the one where he poked it with a stick and it climbs up the stick and onto his arm? Or is that like the same movie?
Yeah, like who wouldn't run away from that?
I know.
Let's go with a stick.
It moves at a whopping 1 mile per hour and you're standing there staring at it. I don't know what to do.
No,
what
you could have easily called the movie The Glacier and it would have been just as scary. Fun fact about the movie, besides the fact that Steve McQueen starred in it. And by the way, when you watch it, if you can stand it, it's immediate how much better he is than anybody else in that freaking movie. Yeah. But it was years later that they finally did a sequel, the one and only directorial effort by one Larry Hagman.
Wow.
Larry Hagman directed The Blob 2?
J.R. Ewing was a director.
Wow. And they even marketed it with a tagline because it was the perfect timing, too. It was the movie that J.R. shot. That's what they referred to it.
All nice. Right. What year was that?
That same year, 1958. His was almost 15 years later. It was maybe later than that. But yeah, the only time he ever directed a film was, I think, Beware of the Blob was the follow-up or something like
that. That's amazing. Yeah. By the way, Steve McQueen was from Beech Grove, Indiana, a suburb of Indianapolis, like 3 miles away from where I grew up. It's weird. When everybody talks about famous people from Indiana, Steve McQueen's name never comes up. Steve McQueen and, what's his ass?
John Cougar.
No, Rebel Without a Cause.
James Dean.
Those are some of the coolest people ever came from Indiana.
All those.
Well, they don't want to make him less cool by mentioning that.
Maybe so. Yeah. That's my turn?
Yeah, it is.
All right. I also have a song from 1962 that was a number one hit. Mm-hmm. And gosh, I guess it doesn't need any more introduction than that. This is kind of prosaic, but it's pretty fucking cool. Go ahead and hit it.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
Yeah. I mean,
you can hear their beehive hairdos through the music. It's just so great. And, you know, the bubbling in the background and all that stuff, it's so campy. But number one hit, and the guy, Bobby Pickett, he was like a struggling actor. He, you know, wasn't, nothing was happening for him. And he decided to do this Boris Karloff impersonation and do this song. And it's huge. It's a huge song. Huge to the point where the BBC bans it because they say it's offensive.
Satanic.
I'm like, offensive to who? Monsters? What? It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. But it was banned on the BBC at one point. But, and help me if I think this is true. The playing piano is Leon Russell. And it's, who else on here? Let me see. Gary S. Paxton, pianist Leon Russell, Johnny McRae, Ricky Page, Terry Berg, credited as the Crypt Kickers. Mel Taylor, the drummer for the Ventures, is playing on the drums. It was, you know, like essentially the Wrecking, you know, crew members, some Wrecking crew members, sure. And some other good session musicians doing this song. It's just great. And the twinkly piano from Leon Russell.
Yeah.
Love it.
It was such a big hit that he ended up having to do a whole bunch of other follow-ups to it of diminishing returns as you went on. Monsters Holiday, which I think Buck Owens kind of reinvented and had a great.
Really?
Buck Owens. Look up Buck Owens. Monsters Holiday. It is a jam. It is so good. He had a country hit with that. And then there was the unfortunate 1985 Monster Rap from Bobby Boris Pickett, which
is he still alive? He was
then. No, I think he actually. He lasted for a while. I think he died. he died in. No, he was not even 70 years old.
2007.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
Okay. So now we turn to the more legitimate traditional. And all three of us actually, I think, picked some really good scary tunes here. I had a whole bunch of different choices for this one.
Yeah, I had a couple.
And I thought yours was interesting, Josh. I love this, actually. Do you want to just hit it, or what do you want to do?
At one point in time in my life, when I went to bed, I put on a cassette tape, a Led Zeppelin cassette tape, every night and listened to a side of Zeppelin while I fell asleep. And I remember one time, like, you know how you're in that half sleep mode where you can hear and everything around you, but you're still like, you're still kind of, am I dreaming? I don't know. Well, I was kind of in that half sleep mode when this song came on, and about halfway through the song, I just kind of, eyes wide open, woke up and was like impending doom and dread. And it was just like, holy crap. It was like maybe the first time that just the song had brought about that kind of sensation to me of like fear and just doom.
Oh, this is great.
Right? Just this mood right here is
Close the door.
And even the little bit of the effects on his vocals is.
Yeah.
No, they won't be home tonight.
Oh.
Snowfall's hard, don't you know? The winds of Thor are blowing cold.
Gotta chill.
And wearing steel that's bright and true.
So good.
John Paul Jones does not get the credit he deserves for some of these things.
John Paul Jones might be the most talented member in Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, well, he went on to like direct, compose music, and conduct music for cathedrals and stuff, right?
For churches. Yeah, and he was at one point in time, I think before. Like In Through the Outdoor or Presence or something, he was going to leave Led Zeppelin and be a like choir master or something like that. And they had to talk him into coming back because he was like, I'm done. I just want to go do this. I'm going to go be a choir master.
Yeah, it was for Canterbury or something, like a really, you know, esteemed, prestigious appointment. Right. And he's like, okay, I'll keep making music for you.
Yeah.
The title of that song?
No quarter,
so people can find it.
Oh, really good.
Good one. All that's right. A great one.
Yeah, so mine is, I was actually surprised that nobody picked this, but it's very similar in theme, I guess, to all three of ours from the standpoint of something we've talked about on this podcast before, the fear as a child of being in the dark at night. After many thoughts begin to creep in, I thought somebody would pick this, and so I just snagged it. It's obvious. Cut the intro down by a lot.
Yeah.
exit light, enter night.
Yeah.
Take my hand off the never. Yeah. I mean, you are fucked up, man. Stop it. Also, a super scary video to go along with that. But, I mean, yeah. does that song just completely encapsulate the dread and fear of the unknown at night, especially when you're a youngster and like nighty night?
Everything a nightlight can cure. You know what I mean? It's just like as soon as that nightlight goes off, it's just like everything is in your room is some monster or something evil trying to get you.
Yeah. And much like millions of people, that was my entry point to Metallica, who I had zero relationship at that point.
Really?
And, you know, everybody had that album, it felt like, when it came out. But it was like, I am not a metalhead by any means, but that album was so just jumped off out of the speakers in a way that was very visceral. It was really good. And they're just a good fucking tight band. Amazing.
It's really interesting how the first time I heard some of this music, you know, Led Zeppelin, you know, from the very get go, Led Zeppelin, I'm like, oh my God, that's really heavy. That's heavy and dangerous. And then same thing with, you know, Metallica and even like, you know, Stone Temple Pilots and stuff, you know, Sex Type Thing. The first time I'm like, wow, this is really heavy and dangerous sounding. Now you listen back to it and it's like,
Well, we've had that conversation. Like go listen to the Dead Kennedys. Like back when I was a kid, they were like just this hardcore punk band. You know what I mean? And now you put it like a Dead Kennedys album in and it's like, this is almost like ska. You know, it's just like exactly.
You're laughing.
I mean, it's not bad. I'm not saying it's bad. I still like it, but it's like I remember thinking this was like hardcore. I'm listening to hardcore punk, and now I'm like clapping along and doing a thing.
You listen to like when the Sex Pistols or the Ramones came out. You know, any of that punk movement, it was like, oh my God, it's scary because of the reputation that went along with it. But it really came down to, you know, three chord pop with just a lot of raw guitar to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Could easily
the musicianship
have a pop
was
band
secondary.
Doing it. Yeah,
yeah.
The recording quality was crap. It was, and that was like that was the whole idea. It was like, we don't give a shit. We're gonna make a big crappy record, and you're gonna like it because our parents hate it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Anyway, how do you want to get into yours here, Andy?
I think maybe this one you just start.
All right. We've got two parts here. So here's part one just to set the mood, okay?
Very blowy. Line's so good. It's one of the last people I interviewed at the sound. Recognize Josh yet?
I know I've heard this, but I don't recognize it yet.
That's Mr. Roger Waters.
Oh, yeah.
There's a little ditty.
Now,
little ditty called One of These Days, I'm going to cut you into little pieces.
Here we go.
Skip ahead here. Pounding at the door, Nick Mason.
It's like an 80s stalker movie.
It could be easily used as soundtrack music. I actually read up on that. It's Gilmore and Waters playing two different basses.
That's what I was going to say. It sounded like they almost had either that or a delay effect on it.
It's bouncing back and forth. And then I guess it's hard to hear the one of these days I'm going to cut you into little pieces. It's just so great.
Yeah.
You know, I have a dream. Oh, here we go. This is ridiculous, that phasing effect. The
mean, this
that's Roger Wright on the on a synthesizer taking that up and down. That's just amazing.
Where do you stand on this metal album? Because I have never been into this one at all. It's a transition record.
It's not my favorite one for them. But then, you know, they start getting into Obscured by Clouds, which is starting to become, you know, a step away from that stuff and a little bit more melodic. And, you know, they've like shed the final vestiges of the Syd Barrett influence on it. And it's just straightforward, engaging and operatic. And the next album after Obscured by Clouds is
Dark Side of the Moon, right?
Dark Side of the Moon, yeah. And, you know, that's just where everybody says, oh, we get it now. Yeah. It was like, you know, decades later, Radiohead with OK Computer. Everybody's like, oh, okay, we see where you were heading now. Yeah. All right, this is great. So it's pretty amazing. I have a dream, though. If you ever gone trick-or-treating and you go up to a house where, you know, it's a cool October night and they've got the windows open and they've got speakers set up right in the window and they're just blasting really loud, scary music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ever seen that?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And maybe some strobes on the house, you know, to make it look a little bit scary and so forth, or inside the rooms. I love that effect. And I've always thought it would be fun to do that. But for me, what I want to do is have those songs, you know, Inner Sandman, One of These Days, and No Quarter, all of those great scary sounding songs, but every other song. And then the ones in between would be Torn Between Two Lovers, Feeling Like a Fool, and Have You Never Been Mellow, Have You Never Tried, you know, You Light Up My Life.
Have I ever told you guys the story of me doing one of two shifts ever on K-Rock in my career? On K-Rock FM. I did, one of them was, it was basically an audition. I'd moved back from Houston after doing mornings, and we had decided we wanted to come back to L.A. And through a friend of a friend, I got in touch with Kevin Weatherly, and he was like, yeah, I'll throw you on. Just, you know, don't be like a screaming top 40 guy. Just, you know, dial it back and whatever. So he gave me a shift that just happened to be on, I think, Halloween night or Halloween Eve. It was the eve of All Hallows Eve. And I was to go on at 10 o'clock, do 10 to 2. And what he wasn't thinking at the time was that it wasn't normal format. They were doing the 106.7 scariest songs of all time. They were doing a special countdown. So I get there early. He doesn't give me any instructions on how to get in. This is pre-cell phone. So I go up into the building and I'm knocking on the back door. You know, there's always a back door. There's no intercom. Nothing's working. Nobody's coming to get me. I can't call anybody. I don't have the studio hotline to call
anybody.
Where
was the studio at that point?
It was in Toluca Lake. It was the one where there was a Daltz at the bottom. It was on Olive and Alameda, I guess, on that corner.
Yes.
Yeah. And so bang, 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 bang. And so it's after 10 o'clock. My shift was supposed to start. And suddenly about 10:12, the door flies open and it's Doug the Slug, Sluggo. And he goes, there you are. I was like, yeah, I've been here. I was going to sit with you for like 20 minutes to at least train a little bit. And he's like, well, I'm late for a party. Okay. So he shoves me in the studio. He says, here's the list. All the music is back there. I got to go. And he's pissed at me. I tell him this years later, and he's mortified that he acted like such a jerk. So I look at this, and it's like there is no music log. They basically have the list of the 106.7 scariest songs of all time.
And you just have to play them until they
finish. And I'm just supposed to look at them, go in the back, and look alphabetically to find the CD to figure out the track. So the idea of actually doing any content is the last thing from my mind. I've never worked on this board before. It takes me a good hour.
This is already making me nervous. Just hearing all this.
It's been fuel for a horrible radio dreams ever since then. And then at some point, I'm going through the list. It wasn't particularly well organized. And I get to one thing, and it's like, it is not there. there, the thing you tell me I have to play next. So that night you were hearing going from number 45 to number 43. because you were having to play these number things in between. Yeah. They had images. Oh, it was a nightmare. But my point is, besides the fact that it was one of the roughest shifts ever, and the reason I had a second on K-Rock is because he said, yeah, that was probably not the best night to get a shift. But during the night, in between things like, you know, Susie and the Banshees and, you know, all these other songs, they would play I Think I Love You by the Partridge Family, or they would play nice. Close to You by the Carpenters. I mean, it was really pissing everybody off.
That's great.
And when I told that story to Sluggo and to Kevin Weatherly, they were both like, yeah, that was so bad. We never did that again.
That's amazing. Yeah. So what did you substitute something in there for it, or just skip over it?
Oh, I just skipped it. What was I going to play instead? I just was like, I can't find the song. And also they were alphabetized poorly. Like some of the stuff was under the band, under T. Some of it was under the name of the band. It was literally a Halloween nightmare, and it is so vivid to me that I am about ready to puke right now.
Dude, we've talked about this before. I remember when I came to LA and I was here, you know, 2 weeks and got a temporary job and so forth, and sent out 5 tapes, and on a Friday dropped them off, and then on Monday Steve Blatter called me back at Y107 and said, hey, would you want to do an audition? I'm like, sure, yeah, absolutely. I hadn't been on the air and radio for a year because I was in Indianapolis, got fired from the morning show there. And then, I was out of work while I did a charity while my then wife worked at another radio station. So just got to the point where, you know, we're like, fuck it, let's go to California and see what we can do there. I don't want to have regrets. Come out here. I hadn't been on the air in a year. You know how it is, you know, Larry, when you haven't been on the air in a week or two and you come back and things kind of seem, you know, a little bit nervous. Okay, yeah. I got everything. This has been a year of my life, and I'm like 28 at the time. And I realized just as I'm getting ready to go on the air at midnight for this audition shift on Y107, that there are more people listening at midnight in Los Angeles.
You can't
then
think
we're
of
ever
that
listening
shit.
At noon.
No,
do that. Indianapolis. And I'm like, oh boy.
Yeah, you can't do that, dude. I know. Don't think about it.
I did the same thing. My first shift at 21 years old at Kiss FM was like, I had been in Odessa, Texas. It was the biggest market I had been on the air. And I get in the studio where Rick Dees was doing mornings, and, you know, Big Ron is the guy I follow, and I'm on at night. And Tim Kelly, who was on before me, kind of went in the other room, heard me do one break, kind of very nervously, 102.7. And he, same kind of thing. He busts in the door and says, well, sounds like you got it. See ya. And he's gone. So I am the only person in the number one station in Los Angeles at that moment. And it freaked me out because I did the same thing. It's like all I could think. And also I was on the 11th floor of this building at Sunset and Vine, and I'm looking out and it's this gorgeous night and there's nothing but lights as far as I can see. And I'm like, you know, most of those people are listening right now because this station is so huge. It just, oh, it took me, I can't believe it back on the air because I sounded like a 9-year-old fumbling through the rest of the night. And here's awesome. Lionel Richie. Hello.
That's good stuff. Boy, hey, Larry, about thanks, fear. Thanks for putting that together. Oh, appreciate it.
Thank you. Fun. I'm in the spirit, man. I'm in the Halloween spirit.
So let's, what's the next one we want to do?
Next sound thing?
I think we talked music? About, I would love to do this if you guys are in, but we talked about in November, it has nothing to do with anything holiday-wise, but favorite TV theme songs, I think.
That's the one.
So we got a couple weeks to
we'll do it pre-Thanksgiving. It'll be, it'll be just kind of a mid-November thing.
Oh, you want to hear all right, now I'm going to bring the show down. You want to hear an effing bummer that I just found out this week? None of the Charlie Brown holiday specials will be on television.
Thank fuck.
This
I
year.
Hate those things.
That's a what? Oh, yeah. Hold on, Mr. Scrooge. First of all, Josh.
We knew he hated the Christmas one.
Yeah. First of all, Josh, that sucks, but I can't remember the last time I ever watched it on broadcast TV.
I watch every single I don't watch the Thanksgiving one. That one's stupid.
That was terrible.
I watch the Halloween one and the Christmas one religiously every year.
But they were sore afraid. But they're available. I have them. I realized years ago that we were always like renting it on Amazon or something. I just bought it on Amazon Video for $10. And so it's there on demand with no commercial breaks. I don't know why people are all up in arms about the broad. Who's watching broadcast TV live except for sporting events
now? That's what makes it special because it is actual appointment watching. You need to be there Tuesday at 8 o'clock to watch it. You know what I mean? Instead of being like,
no,
I make an appointment too. I tell Sharla and Alex, hey, everybody, we're going to sit down right after dinner at 7:23 p.m. We'll push one button. And we'll watch it, and it'll be done in 23 minutes.
Look, I may make an appointment to sit down and watch a television program at 8 p.m. some evening, but it sure as fuck isn't going to be the Charlie Brown special.
Okay, Mr. Scrooge, what the hell? What is wrong with you?
Why do you got such a beef with Charlie Brown?
You hate joy.
Yeah. The
purity and innocence and laughter and fun.
I don't know. I'm just.
Is it that bitch head. Lucy? It's that bitch Lucy, right?
Yes.
You're a man
of justice. And every time she yanks that football away, it just drives you fucking bananas.
Exactly.
When I was a kid, I did like I liked two things. I liked on the Christmas one, what Snoopy did to his house. I thought that was great. Yeah. That was fantastic. And then in the Halloween
one. Oh, you enjoy the commercialization of the holiday. Okay, good. Yeah, okay. All right.
And then the Halloween one, I like the one where at every house, Charlie Brown said, I got to rock.
Yeah. All right. And you like humiliation. All right. We're beginning to see your true nature. I like the fact
that the people were like, all right, let's grab some rocks and keep them inside for that little shit, bro. Charlie Brown comes and the whole street's going to do it. We're all going to put, I mean, that's an effing rock.
Yeah. It's pretty great.
Yeah.
It's
they can't do a sequel to that one because Charlie Brown ended up growing up to be a serial killer and he's serving nine life sentences. Concurrently.
And guess what? You put a rock in my pillowcase, you're going to be picking it up off of your living room floor. Surrounded in glass.
Swing it around and wait until they come out of the garage.
Hey, let's on the night where kids TP paper and throw shit at my house, let's give them a fucking rock. I wonder what they'll do.
By the way, where are Linus's parents that they're allowing him to sit out all night and get hypothermia from sitting in a pump? I think I'm on Andy's side now.
What the fuck? He's like shivering. And his sister goes out in her pajamas.
Those specials are child abuse. Yes. Oh my God, Andy, you were onto it.
It's just a step above Family Circus for me. I can't.
The Family Circus.
What about the Vince? Wait. The delightful Vince Guaraldi trio music.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that saves it all. Josh pointing out the stupidity of handing children rocks. That's great. Yeah, that's going to come through a pane of glass. You're right.
Well, that's what I know. I love my wife because we watch it every year. We really do. And she always feels so bad for she's like, I always feel bad for Charlie Brown. You know it's a cartoon, right?
I had a roommate that delivered pizzas, and every time somebody tipped him in change, as he was walking away, he would throw it in their grass, and he'd go, enjoy that, your lawnmower.
it makes me think, Josh, about... other holidays as well. You know, the longstanding folklore of bad children, when they put their stockings out, if they're bad, they'll get a lump of coal in their stocking.
Yeah, right.
Well, you just imagine these shitty children.
Let's give shitty kids
lying in wait for Santa. Yeah. So when Santa comes, remember this from last year, Santa? Whack!
And hey, guess what else? Guess what else? That also burns.
Yeah. What do you think that was? Anthracite or bituminous coal?
Let's chew on it.
bad idea giving crappy kids rocks. Yeah. Right, hey, we got
yeah,
some.
They had the right idea in Germany with the Krampus, who, if you were bad, would come and like what yeah. would eat their toes or something ridiculous. I don't remember. Yeah,
that's better. Okay, hey, we got a couple of calls to get to here if you want to.
Oh, sure. The YAF line. What's that number, Andy?
I'm glad you asked me. It's 626-657-6428. 626-657-6428. Please make a note of it. And you can also remember it by, PM Hat. You remember that when you used to call, get a wrong number? The following number has been changed. The new number is blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. No, please make a note of it. You remember that?
No.
Yeah. All right. Fine.
Josh doesn't. I do. I'm old. He's young.
I just remember this number. This you have reached a number that is no longer
in service.
In service.
Please check your number.
Disconnected.
You
right.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Yeah. Kids today. My kids would have no fucking idea what we're talking about.
No.
Like, what's a dial tone?
Yeah.
Yeah. Show them a rotary phone sometime exactly. and see if they can figure that thing out.
Exactly. Well, that's the crazy thing is that the like Vivian just got a toy sometime in the last several months that was. A rotary phone, like a, you know, Minnie the Mouse rotary phone. She doesn't know what that is. She doesn't know that from a paperweight.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, why give her a clamshell phone? At least that's from the last couple of decades.
Right. I love watching movies from the 70s where people have to call other people because there is this moment where it's like, and it's like, oh, we're going to sit through the whole thing. Yep. But there's always in a movie, the last two digits are always 1 and 2. It's like, let's just get it over with.
All right, here we go. Here's one of our two calls.
Hi, Yappers. This is Peter from NorCal. I'm wearing black jeans and a black shirt that says dinosaurs and deadlifts. Josh, I have a bone to pick with you. You were wrong. Hardee's happens to be in Salt Lake City, or at least they were when I lived there a few years ago. Anywho, bye.
Wow, there's a Hardee's in Salt Lake City.
I could have sworn it was everything west of the Mississippi was Carl's Jr. Oh.
There's always an exception to the rule depending on when they're established. Like the reason we talked about that is the division between radio stations and TV stations, actually, who start with K west of the Mississippi and W east of the Mississippi. There are exceptions because there were some stations that were grandfathered in from years ago. I think there's a WFAA in Dallas and places like that. So that
Hardee's was grandfathered into the Carl's Jr. clause.
Yes. Yeah. Right. And stations in Canada begin with
C. C for Canada.
And stations.
Are you sure?
And stations in Mexico begin with
M.
No, X.
C.
No,
I mean
X.
Yeah. No, I mean, see, it's X.
It is X.
It is.
My favorite call letters of any radio station ever is in Toronto, Canada, CHUM. They just have been calling it that forever. CHUM, Toronto.
I would gag every time.
Yeah.
No. Every time they did the station ID, I'd barf.
I would make Josh be the imaging voice for our station ID if I was program director. There.
Is it K-CHUM or W-CHUM?
No, it's C.
C-H-U-M.
Have you been paying attention?
It's Canadian, eh?
Toronto is in Canada.
Okay.
We got one more phone call. One more phone call, and to play it, I need to play this first.
Low energy bike. Low energy bike.
All right, here we go.
Hey, Yappers. This is Low Energy Mike from Northeastern Oregon. This week, we built a French drain for the flight we had repaired last year. It flooded again last spring. It seems that the groundwater is following the Bridge Creek pipeline ditch. The pipeline dumps into the Mill Creek intake, which then feeds the City of Cove hydro plant. The pipeline was replaced about 5 years ago with 24-inch HDPE plastic pipe. The wall thickness on this pipe is close to 3/4 of an inch. then dig down the hill on the bar pit until we could daylight the train line at a 2% slope. This only ended up being about 80 feet, but what a tough 80 feet it was. Climbing a tight rock. I actually broke one of my rippers, my favorite one, the two-footer. I was able to finish the ripping with the four-footer, and everything was right with the world. It was a couple of tough days for a ditch digging man. Talk to you later.
I hate it when I break my ripper.
I was going to ask, when's the last time you have so many things falling apart on you, Andy? When's the last time you hurt your ripper?
Hey, yeah. How are the Chanleys this week? Anybody have any major injuries?
Hold on.
That was the winner, G-Mike.
Yeah, actually, Laura was tearing the tops off of some carrots. And she aggravated her thumb, had to go back to the doctor on Friday just to say, I didn't screw this up, did I? So it seems to be, you know, we can't get through a week.
We need to wrap you guys in bubble wrap or something. What's going on?
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm sleeping like a baby.
Oh, the new bed.
Yeah.
I got CBD oil and tried it the last two days.
Yeah. Any difference?
My sleeping pattern is still the same, but I wake up feeling like I got better sleep. You know what
more
I mean?
Rest.
Like,
nice.
Like, yeah, I still wake up a couple times and I struggle sometimes to get back to sleep. But in the morning, I feel like I slept great. So
nice.
I'm digging it so far.
I would imagine there's somewhat of a cumulative effect. So hopefully it continues to improve.
Yeah, we'll see. So
I love it. Fellas,
did you say
feel
fellas?
About one night? Phallus? How'd you feel about $1.99, Phallus?
That's what it said. Didn't they say Phallus?
I heard it as fellas, but you might be in a different spot right now. I don't know. I don't know where your head is at. Maybe that CBD
like
oil had more
phallus
effect than you thought.
That's why I didn't want to answer. I'm like, I'm not answering to that. What the hell are you talking about?
I do not respond to phallus.
See you next week for 200. Number all 200.
Right. Bring your A game.
It's been a real, yeah, it's been, why start now? Larry, how can people get a hold of you?
You can find me on the Instagram.
By the phallus?
By the phallus at the Larry Morgan. You can email us anytime. yourartificialfriends@gmail.com. We'll read your email on the show, or I'll get back to you if it's not that interesting. And how about you, Josh?
You can reach me at joshuajfligger@gmail.com. And you can also find us on Facebook. Like us there. And also, isn't it good for them to rate and review the podcast?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be
that
awesome.
Always helps.
It'd be fantastic.
If by some reason you feel like you actually would want to recommend this, go ahead and rate and subscribe. And we are available on all the other pod streaming devices right now. And with the holiday season right around the corner, it'd be a great time to go ahead and invest in that Yaff Crap mug. Go to yaffcrap.com. There are two different sizes depending on your consumption needs of the Your Artificial Friends mug.
Or if you want to use one as a planter, which has been done.
Yes, I love that. Exactly.
Yeah, for recreational drug use. It's a fine way to use. I mean, it's very practical.
Yeah, it is. You can find me on the DJ Andy Chanley on Facebook. I'm Andy_Chanley on Twitter and Andy Chanley on Instagram.
When the people that you know don't like you, and you treasure friendships in, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
All right, I'm going to watch some football, Phallus.
Go! All right.
Thanks, Phallus. Thanks for everything.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Happy Halloween!